Everybody, welcome to RPG Cast, episode 817 for the week of July 27, 2026. I'm Chris Privateer, bringing you a lot of news. We were gone last week. Andy and I went to a romance author convention, and he got a lot of meet and greets done and talked to people, and then was gonna, he had a VIP pass, so he got to go in early, and then he was gonna call me to come do lunch, and then I get to show up for the second half. And instead of that, he decided to just stay there for 4 hours straight until he was completely out of energy. And he said, I did everything I want to. Come pick me up and take me back to the hotel. So I did not actually get to go to the convention, which is fine with me because it wasn't for me. But like, it was weird.
I thought you had a lot of fun last year when you went down there.
No, not this. This is a new convention. We didn't do this.
Oh, this is the literal. Yeah. This was the.
So next week we're going to Games Done Quick, which is something we've been doing the last few years. So we'll that'll be something I do get to participate in some degree.
I cannot wait.
Wear a mask.
Yeah, we will. Yep.
Okay. I'm reminding you because there was the one convention you went to where you did not wear a mask and you got sick.
I did wear a mask. I didn't wear it enough on that convention.
Oh, you didn't wear it enough. Okay.
Was this
like that matters?
Yeah.
Am I muted?
No.
No.
Was this post? Was this mask incident post COVID?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want to wear a mask while playing board games with my friends at our table, but that turns out that was a mistake.
Because one of them had COVID.
Well, no, they
or
didn't.
Someone passing by had COVID.
There you go. And whatever it was, it was a bad idea. We did that. We did a new. We did a new board game convention this year with that. Not the same place. But I did wear the mask the whole time, and I did not get COVID. So I've already redeemed myself to some degree.
Like I can imagine you guys all touching the same game board pieces isn't very sanitary.
Yeah, but that's not the thing we're really worried about, I don't think. Whatever. Yeah.
As long as people wash their hands.
Or not touch their face. That's the problem I have. I'm so fidgety, I can't stop touching my face.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time at the con.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Kelly Ryan and Robert Albright. Hi.
Hello.
I have had a very crappy week.
Tell us about... No, you don't have to say anything. That sucks.
Well, if you follow me on Blue Sky, you'll know that my cat Zorro passed away, and he was in the hospital that entire week before when you guys were on vacation. And it was a very harrowing week anyway, and then he ended up passing, and I was very upset. And then my mom's cat, who was Zorro's biological brother from the same litter, passed too. So we were like, why did all these kittens have an expiration date? And we just determined, well,
pure cats. They were street cut. And
I mean, honestly, who knows how inbred the street cats were, given that we have a bunch of ferals in
our neighborhood. How old are they?
12.
Oh, wow. That is young to die. Okay.
I mean, it's up there. They had a good long life. It wasn't like, well, Ozzy died pretty young. He was only 5. But they basically, like, every single one of them ended up having... some sort of health problem, like either related to cancer or heart failure or whatnot, except for Joey, my sister's cat, who got sick at the beginning of his life, though he got sick because he fell off a banister and bruised his stomach really bad. And I joked and said, I'm going to laugh my ass off if Joey's the last one, given how much of a headache he caused us when he was a baby. And... lo and behold, Joey is the last one. He cashed in his 9 lives early, I guess. I don't know how the 9 lives thing works, but cat distribution system, I have a slot open. if you want to just bestow me a cat.
I'm sure you will come across one shortly.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of holding off a little bit, but Frankie kind of needs a friend because Zorro was our last boy, and while he gets along with the girls, I kind of want to get him a boy to wrestle with that's about his Well, Frankie's free, 3 years old. But
Cyril, yeah. Sounds like Joey sold high.
Yeah.
The others were holding. That's what you're supposed to do. It didn't work out. Like my game stopped stock.
Yeah, Joey is a sweet cat, but he does not like to be messed with. And the other cats in that litter were like so tame and so do with me what you will cats. But Joey, because he was messed with so much as was a baby, it's like once he's done being paid attention to, he will let you know. But, yeah, so my week sucks, so I played my therapy game most of the week.
What is your therapy game?
That stupid library sorting game.
Mm.
That is one of those games that's, especially if you're playing it without using magic to sort the library, it's basically a 3,000-piece puzzle. And doing that 3,000-piece puzzle kind of has that same... You have to pay attention to enough that you're distracted from your problems, but you can still zone out and kind of relax thing that Legos have for when you're putting together Legos. Because when Jack passed away, that's all me and Vaughn did that weekend was put together Legos. And yeah, that helped kind of ease the pain. And doing that library sorting game kind of has helped ease the pain. I can still only get my speed run down to 2 hours, though. I've been trying to get it to down to below 2 hours, and I just can't seem to sort the library that fast. And I'm not sure what strategy I'm missing that I can't do it under 2 hours. I don't know. Maybe I'm not fast enough on the mouse or something. I don't know. I'm curious.
I don't know. Yeah, you should see if it's on the schedule for GDQ.
That would be a very interesting game to watch speedrunners to try to accomplish, and you know, not doing any percent because that's just cheating. I was watching speedrun strategies like, oh, someone did it in an hour, and it was in any percent, so they just picked up all the books and just put them in random shelves. And I'm just kind of sitting there staring like, I could have done that, guys. I wanted a legitimate speedrun strategy.
Well, have you tried that though? Does it work?
I mean, yeah, it's just
it's not for the achievement. Okay.
Yeah, it's the bad ending. Basically the you're fired ending.
Fired.
Also I'll have to send you the screenshot when you finish the game without using any magic to sort the books, the letter you get, all it says is just K from the principal. As if, like, why would you do it like that, you idiot?
Is K your name, or is it just the letter, like, okay?
Yeah, like, very...
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, okay, I'm going to have to get someone else in here, aren't I?
K, you do you.
You do you.
Actually, that would have been funnier.
You know, I actually saw one of my streamer friends playing this, and, yeah, it's a game.
I know, and it's like Power Wash Simulator. You would think, why would anybody find this fun? But it's so zen. It's so put on an audiobook and turn your brain off and just sort books. And the sad thing is that I've had my bookshelf break before, and doing that in real life isn't fun. But that's because books weigh stuff, and... Video game sorting is much more fun. I imagine that power washing is a similar experience. But I haven't just played the book sorting game. I also did buy and play Adventures of Elliot.
Okay.
It's quite a little bit in the game before the game opens up the Find the Cats minigame.
Which is the only part that you care about.
Yeah. To the point where I thought that I had like missed out on the quest or something. No, it's just you are a little ways into the game before that bit opens up. But yeah, once it opens up, I kept seeing cats everywhere, but the game wasn't letting me obtain them. So I just kind of had to make a mental note of where the cats are so that when I was able to obtain them, I could go back.
Did you stalk the cats?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, they just kind of show
this
up and...
Kelly. That's why do you even ask?
Yeah, you're right.
You know
Sorry.
This answer.
Foolish. Sorry.
I felt so called out by that quest, by the way, because the guy that opens up that side quest is like, the cats are running away from him, and he's like, but I want to pet them. I love cats so much, but they never let me pet them. I'm like, oh, God, this guy is me.
I want to pet every cat.
Yeah, yeah. But something that I've seen people online complain about is that the audio of the cats in this game is just people saying meow. Like they got random people around the office to just go say meow. Meow. When you speak to the cats in game. And people are like, why didn't you use real audio of cats? And I'm like, I kind of like this feature. Because whenever I hear cats meowing in games, I think it's one of my idiots stuck in a closet.
The closet meow is real.
Yeah. Always sounds so pathetic.
So I actually have a closet cat story.
Uh-oh. Tell me.
So a number of years ago, my wife and I were playing D&D with some friends. And so we, you know, it's cold. We grab our jackets. We go over. We get back like 12 hours later. We were known for marathon sessions of D&D.
Sure. Yeah. Normal.
We get back. We hear Shadow just meowing away. And we're like, where is he? Where is he? So eventually I open up our hall closet and there he is. He was stuck in the hall closet from us grabbing our jackets.
Oh, for 12 hours? Oh, give him treats.
We felt so bad.
Yeah.
But he was a good boy. He did not pee on anything.
Okay, good.
Yes, that there was a couple of times when my old elderly cat, Kiki, when he was still alive, would get left in Vaughn's office, and he would make his presence known.
Wait, drywall eating simulator?
Yeah, apparently that's going to be a summer games done quick this year.
Drywall eating simulator.
I heard it.
Yeah. What?
Yep.
I'm more impressed that not because there's a speedrun, because people will speedrun anything, that there is a game.
I've actually heard of it before.
Drywall eating simulator.
Yeah.
Video game.
Ellie, I want to know more about Adventures of Elliot, though.
You know, people keep comparing it to Legend of Zelda.
Adventures of Elliot? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It gives me more ease vibes.
Okay. Either way, that's action RPG.
Yeah. I mean, there's no bump combat, but the way the bosses and the characters move and stuff, it feels more like ease than Zelda to me.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking that to be contrarian. The companion that you get is annoying as hell.
Okay. So we got the checklist. We got annoying companion. All right.
You can reduce how much she chatters, but she still chatters way too much for my taste.
Hey, listen!
not even that. It's like, oh, there's a crack in the wall.
Like, you should check out the crack in the wall.
Like, lady, I have eyes. I can see. I can see.
But maybe you're a child and you need assistance.
I guess. Or the one that was getting on my nerves was every time I was opening a chest, it was, oh, shinies or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, there was two companions. You get the princess at the beginning, who's your tutorial character because she can heal you at any time. But eventually you lose her and you get the fairy. And the princess was getting on my nerves in particular every time I opened a chest. And she was like, we'll have to make good use of this money. As if somehow I'm just going to go blow it on hookers. And
listen, they know you're just going to buy more cats that you can't take care of.
I mean, I buy cat food and toys to play with them.
Fair enough.
But yeah. That was even before you unlock the cat stuff. I don't know. Just the companions in this game are so freaking annoying. Like Silent Hope levels of annoying. If you remember me complaining about that one.
I don't, but I love that we're going way back.
I mean, that
That was
one,
like 2 years ago, Chris.
2023.
Okay, 3 years ago. That is not way back.
That's backtrack. Backtrack
Yeah.
can cover it. That's back. Retro. It's retro.
But
Oh, Silent Hope is on sale for $9.
There you go.
that is a good price for that game. I highly recommend that game. Just, turn the companion voice off. That one was so notorious for being annoying that they actually announced the turning it down in the patch notes of a patch that came out later for it. Yeah, there's a lot of for the Steam sale and like the Nintendo sale. There's a lot of games on sale right now that I liked that I would never recommend at full price. Like Amazon has had Farmagia on sale for like $15. That was a decent game, but there's no way in hell anybody should pay more than 20 for that. Even though I technically did, because my parents got it for me for Christmas.
Oh, I got the game and all its DLC for $15.
Silent Hope?
Yeah.
Excellent. That's a fun little action RPG. That came out the same year as Diablo 4, and I recommended that over Diablo 4.
That was, yeah, I mean, yeah.
But back to current games. I'm having fun with Adventures of Elliot. I need to play more into it. I just keep getting distracted by dumb puzzle games.
Dumb puzzle games.
Puzzle games.
And that's probably the last new game I'm going to be buying for a little while because I need to save up some money because Alice is going to have surgery at
Oof.
some point.
Okay.
She has a polyp in her ear that's causing her a lot of
Sounded like you said
problems.
she's got Paul all up in here.
No.
I'm like, who's Paul? That's party.
We have a Paul-wall on our staff, but I don't think he's causing my cat ear problems.
He is. He. We need to fire him, and I'll delegate that to Andy, the designated firer of people with specific names.
And hiring of Ryan's.
Hiring and firing of Ryans. See, Chief
Although this week,
Operating Officer of the Hiring and Firing of Ryans. So COOHAFOR.
although we did find out this week we have two Joes on staff.
The Kuhafor. Andy, you're the Kuhafor. The Chief Operating Officer of Hiring and Firing of Ryans. Perfect. Okay.
That is certainly a title.
Yeah, but yeah, we totally
Andy
found out
just
this
said, I
week
was born to do this job.
But yeah, we were on Backtrack. We or
Yeah.
was it? Yeah, Backtrack. We were f realizing that we had two Joes on staff,
Smoking Joe
and Joe,
and Nicotine Free Joe. Oh, okay.
just Joe.
Just Joe. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I name one of my cats Joe if my sister has a cat named
Call
Joey,
it
or is
Joe
that too?
Mama. Ooh. Oh, sorry.
I really wanted to name a cat Joe the cat,
Joe the cat is a great cat name. What are you talking about?
but my sister has Joey, and I don't know if
Oh, you shouldn't do that. You
yeah.
and your sister have enough issues sometimes. Maybe don't.
I mean, it's not like it's a baby name.
Okay.
Which I'm sorry, baby name drama is funny. So funny. Especially when somebody gives another person a really bad decoy name and the person ends up using the decoy name because they're trying to piss somebody off and it ends up backfiring horribly because like that's not what I was going to name my kid. I just told you that to throw you off the trail. It's like, ooh,
This is
burn.
ridiculous. Is this a Reddit thing? I can just go read hours of baby name drama.
Yes.
No.
That does sound like a thing that would exist.
Let me put it on my to-do list.
it's as if somehow some people think that baby names are like MMO names, where once you do that name, that's it.
I mean, there is a kid out there named Facebook.
True.
In Egypt.
Anyway, sorry, that was a not a non-disclosure, a non-sequitur.
All right, are you all good? Shall we move on to the TAM? Good. All right.
I'm good.
I'm somehow here.
Did you play anything this week?
Mostly Honkai Star Rail.
Oh, still grinding through that, huh?
Well, I made it through all the main story content.
Uh-huh.
And near about the midway of the most current story content, I realized that because I skipped some of the other like side story stuff, I was very confused. I was not confused by a few things. They at least explained enough where I understood it, but I was missing some key pieces of information. Like at one point, there is a storyline involving a memetic virus. Yes, a meme is a virus.
Does it make you talk in like memes?
Banana.
Is that banana for scale of how big the virus is? Or I don't know what we're talking about at this point. I'm very confused.
Leonardo DiCaprio, his arms wide.
No. It's literally the virus makes you talk and can eventually maybe even turn you into a banana or into a monkey.
A monkey.
A monkey. Yeah, I'm sending you something.
So it's Donkey Kong coded or something? Or like what's going on? Why the banana meme? Because like I don't. Oh, they made up a meme for their in world, didn't they? Okay.
Yeah, it's an in world, but it's also a virus.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like the ring, but the banana. If you watch the banana, you will soon become the banana or monkey or whatever.
Yeah, but we had to use that virus to combat a different virus that was making us look like Sparksy.
Gracious. What is a Sparksy? Am I going to regret asking?
Sparksy is a character.
Okay.
Her full name is Sparksicle.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
I guess they're doing more Fate Stay collab stuff.
I guess. I don't know. I just found a video going over patch stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all like that's all the next major patch coming.
Okay.
And so, like, so, but because I skipped the storyline about the memetic virus with the monkeys, I didn't fully understand what was going on, but that's Sparksicle. That's Don Hong. That's Evernight.
The listeners can't see this, so you don't need to name them all. It's okay.
They're on the stream.
Yes, but that's like five people. The people who downloaded it can't see this, so like, you know.
So, but I managed to catch up to the story. Some very shocking surprises on the current patches for
like?
Character. Spoilers.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like major spoilers.
I see.
Involving one of the characters who's been with us since like the start of the game.
Mm.
Which there was like someone I saw this YouTube short where someone was like, "Hey." They kind of hinted that something was different about this character from the very beginning.
Oh, foreshadowing is a very powerful literary device.
Well, it wasn't even foreshadowing. It was just how her shadow interacted with the world.
It was literal foreshadowing. Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, it was.
I hate it.
So,
Tam, save me. Move on to a different topic.
So yeah, I've definitely very invested in Honkai Star Rail again. I want to both thank and curse my good friend Lunalight, who started playing it on her stream because she and I have been and I've known each other for
You're
years.
You're not responsible for your own actions. It's the streamers who've corrupted you.
No, Phenomenon was discussing this last night, how like sometimes you're watching someone stream something and you're like, you know what? I want to play this again.
It's very normal. Yeah. This is how humans do everything. It could be watching someone play sports or having someone talk about knitting or I don't know, whatever else. This is, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know, watching her play it reminded me, like, you know what, maybe I should play this again. And I've actually really enjoyed going back to it.
I posted a relevant GIF in our RPG Cast Discord channel.
And oh, look at that. Continue in browser, please. Oh my gosh. I just want the... I linked to the post instead of... There we go. Banana. What?
This is a long way for a stupid joke.
I got Sid Highwind walking away from his plane, saying something about hazard plane play, and then he spreads his hand and it says banana on the screen. I don't get this at all. I don't know if this is an edit or if this is what happens in the game.
Well, that was my edit.
Okay.
You had never seen the Sid Highwind banana GIF?
No. Sorry. I don't understand what's going on. I have missed the bananas. Unless we're like, is this all from Donkey Kong? Or oh no, I got another link now. Hold on. So Sid spent... Okay. That's really good, actually. It's Sid with his weapon replaced by a giant banana, spinning it around in a way that I don't think would physically work with a real spear. And then he puts it down and he rubs his nose like a Japanese anime character and says, banana on the camera. I don't think that's what he actually says, but it sure looks like his lips say banana and there's a caption.
The only other exciting thing for me this week, though, is... I took my main computer into the shop last week. So, and they've been working on it a week and they've not been able to get it like stabilized to like even boot or anything. And so I bought a new CPU to see if that fixed it.
Oh, they can't try a CPU to before you buy one?
They had no spare.
Okay. I mean, that's the whole point of a computer shop, is for somebody to try and be able to diagnose like that. That bugs me, Tam. Anyway, did it work?
But I don't know yet, but but considering it was one of those 13th gen...
Yeah, one of the bad ones that self-destruct over time.
and the fact that I did have heating issues, mostly related to trying to run Helldivers 2. Along with the fact that for some reason it tried making one of my other, like my core 1 instead of my core 0, its main core. I'm okay with this.
Okay.
So, that is the update on my computer shop.
I'm just glad your motherboard doesn't need an upgrade to support the,
No, it was the same motherboard.
Yeah.
It was the same socket. So the funny thing was I did have to drive all across town yesterday.
Huh?
Because the Best Buy I was at didn't have, like, they were picked clean.
So you bought the processor in person, but you were able to find one that's good for you. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So the Best Buy I was at, they were literally picked clean. They had one single processor in stock.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up driving across town to the other Best Buy. So 40-minute drive.
Oof. But you got it. You got it, though, right?
Yay. And then take it back to the other Best Buy, which is closer to my house anyway. So I would have had to drive back across town anyways.
Oh, because the Best Buy had your PC. So, all right.
Yeah, one Best Buy had my PC.
Doesn't that seem like something they should just do for you? You cut a bunch of time out of the process, I bet. Okay.
Yeah, he was like, if we request it from the store, which is something we can do, he was like,
how
it
long?
Will take longer to get it than if you just drive over there. And I was like, yeah, no, I've got the day off. I'll go drive across town. So I'm driving across town listening to the theme for Silver Wolf Level 999. You know, driving across the highway.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds anime.
A Honkai Star Rail character.
So, oh, okay.
A lot of the characters.
And it lasted for 40 minutes?
On repeat.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, totally did.
Oh, my gosh.
With the windows down.
That's a little obsessive, but also.
Blasted it.
Yep, all right, fair. Okay.
Is that the type of song that'll make you speed?
I try very hard not to speed in my town.
Because, like, I was never able to listen to the Sonic Adventure songs.
Don't admit any. Don't take the fifth, Tam. Don't admit anything.
Some songs are so epic. You've got to speed.
You got to speed. I don't think that's how that works.
You don't like, listen to enough Eurobeat.
Officer, I got to go fast.
But I was shocked because want to know the cost of the new processor I bought. And this is like a top of the line processor. I bought an i9 14 9K. $538.
That doesn't sound too bad.
With tax.
Yeah, with tax. Sorry, which one was it?
An i9 14 9K.
But it's still a Gen 14.
True, but it's at least one after their issue.
No, but so 14 is... Okay, Tam, some of the 14s were also bad. You need to know that. Okay.
But this is... I mean, this considering is, how long did you ago confer- that was reported, this is probably a new batch.
Gosh, I wish you would confirm that, but okay, fair enough. Sorry, it was a 14900K? That's like a top-of-the-line 14th gen, isn't it?
Yeah, that's top-of-the-line 14th gen.
I know there's newer... Now they have the Core, Max, Ultra, whatever lineup, the weird-named ones. But I don't know if your motherboard supports those.
No, the motherboard did not.
So. Oh, okay. So you're just maxing it out with a new CPU. If nothing else, it'll last for a while and then burn itself up again. Actually, you have all the BIOS updates that should help. So.
Yeah. So, but the fun thing is like this is $538, you know, for the with tax for the CPU.
Yeah.
And you look at RAM, this is like... Uh-oh. Less than half the cost of what RAM's selling for.
How much RAM and what price?
I'm not buying.
Well, I mean, you compared it to RAM. What did you compare it to? What'd you look at?
I saw 32 gigs of RAM going for $1,300.
That is way too much. That is insane. That is crazy. That is no. Also, that is the market right now. It sucks ass. All right. Sucks a booty. Sucks eggs. Teaches your grandmother to suck eggs. There we go.
People have been trying to plant bamboo around data centers to mess with them.
Which is, okay, that's, I don't know what that would do, but that's funny.
Bamboo grows really fast and is really hard to get rid of.
Yes. I don't think that's going to make the meaningful change people are hoping for, but hey, they're trying to do something. You know what? I realized something. There's like the bad data centers that, you know, we know about that people hate that make all the noise and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a bunch of data centers also being built that aren't those. And as humans, we've kind of lumped them all together. And I'm trying to figure out like, if that's fair, because the bad ones are so bad, it's like worse getting the baby with the, or it's worth getting the baby with the bathwater right now. Or if like, I'm wondering, do we need more subtlety? And I don't know. I was just thinking about that. That was as far as my thought went. Still, and it's pointless.
No, Chris.
What?
Even if they don't sound bad, they are all bad.
Sure. Like there's ones that don't sound bad and have closed loop water cooling and don't actually use
but
a bunch of input
water.
But they still
have to get the water initially.
Well, yeah. You get. But no. They don't use water for cooling though. Polyethylene glycol usually for cooling. Yes, they have to get some things initially, but like it's not the constant drain of a lake that people seem to paint for some of the bad ones, which I think also do exist and are bad and need to go. These are probably still bad because they still need a bunch of electricity, which is also straining the consumer grid and causing problems. So like there's still things to be bad about it. It's just like I hate how everything's always subtle and we have no time or opportunity for subtlety in our talk because like things are so on fire. We just have to act. Oh, well.
Is there any good news about the GTA stuff this week?
No.
Or I'm the only one that sort of kept track of this.
No, I'm aware of it.
So they announced GTA 5's pricing, and it's $80, and they're not pressing any discs for it. It's all download codes and boxes.
Mm-hmm. For console.
For console.
Because
it's not like they're doing a PC version.
Yeah, I'm just making that clear because they're going to do PC later.
Yeah, but they're not if they're not pressing discs for console, they're not pressing discs for PC.
I I am just stating the fact
that
right now it's only the console version getting released.
I'm confused, Kelly. You said you alluded to a story before the show about GTA 6. And all I know right now about GTA 6 is that they announced a release date and they changed all their social media profile icons. And that's usually a sign that they're actually stick to this release date.
Yeah.
But you tell me there's more and there's drama I missed. And I really want to know.
There's lots of drama. So the first thing is...
No, take it from Kelly. Kelly was going to tell it.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Kelly.
So basically, there's a base version of the game and a premium version of the game. Okay. And there's a bunch of stuff locked behind the premium version. And I haven't read the whole list, but cars and customization and special shops. And... But basically, just nickel and diming the consumer, you get all this extra stuff for $20 for the ultimate edition of the game. And people are really pissed that they're locking content behind this kind of stuff.
Oh, they're basically pre-selling you an expansion by just charging more for... Oh, what is... Okay.
Something
What kind of content are we talking about? Is it real or is it just you get some swimsuits? What are we...
It's a bunch.
It's a bunch of stuff.
Better look this up. All right. GTA 6 premium content drama. Okay. Lock specific in-game story mode features, and this is an AI summary, so please correct me if this is wrong, including exclusive vehicle customization shops, clothing stores, a tattoo parlor, and a side mission. Okay, so the swimsuits are one of the items, so vehicle customization shops, who cares? Tattoo parlor, people probably do care a lot about. And a side mission, I wonder how big that side mission is. But this doesn't seem that crazy to me. Am I missing something? Is it more than the way this summary makes it sound?
This content is in the game, but it is locked.
It's in okay, so it's like BMW making you subscribe to your seat heaters. Already have it. Why aren't you letting me use it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. I agree.
Weird analogy, yeah. But okay. Yes.
I didn't know that BMW was doing that.
They stopped
because
people did not like it, Kelly.
But I would be pissed too. God.
Yep. And with physical stuff, it makes more sense. Software is very common to lock out features based on upgrades, prices, and price structures. So it's really... I think people get disproportionate. I understand that they are upset that traditionally gaming didn't lock things up in this manner and that this is a new trend we don't like. And the best way to tell them you don't like it is to not buy it, right? So do all that. But also, this does seem in line with very long time established practices in software industries, just not necessarily gaming. Though actually gaming does this too. Gaming's always done special editions with more content, and then they release it later as free DLC or paid DLC, right?
This just seems so much more blatant than just putting a couple of costumes behind a collector's edition.
It also is 100 versus what? What's the main normal price?
80.
So yeah, if it was 100 versus 60, I think that would make it even worse. But since it's... So the real problem, though, is as soon as I make that argument, I realize, wait a second, does that mean I'm accepting that $80 is an okay price for a game? And I'm like, I'm not accepting that. That sucks, too. Why is the game starting at 80? And then the premium's at... Yeah. So, I think this is just, a reality check. And everyone's like, wait, this is the industry now? No. How many years do we not buy it for it to go away? Chaos, I got bad news for you. Just because you're not buying it doesn't mean most people are not buying it. They are buying it, and that's why it's not going away.
And that's what I was wondering about, is if Ubisoft or EA did this, the game would tank.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to be the case with this.
Yeah.
Well, that's think Ubisoft has the tail end of a very long PR problem that would cause that, and they also put out a lot more games of varying quality. Rockstar puts out a game once every 35 years, and it's a game people play for the next 37 years. So, I don't know.
I have no idea if GTA 5 even has the same online mode stuff that 5 did. To be honest, I don't think they've really done a good job of illustrating features for this new GTA. other than that you play as a guy and a girl. Oh, all I've known is that it's coming out at some point, and this week is the first time that they've really talked about anything other than it's coming out. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting discussion.
So is that so? That's the extent of the drama. They didn't do like any responses or anything that people hate, or
they came out and said they have no plans to press any discs.
Oh, it's all digital.
Yeah,
full digital for console. Mm. People are pissed about that too.
Mm-hmm.
But
so this is really funny then. GTA set itself up as the embodiment of everything that people hate about the direction of game sales and pricing right now. And yet, it seems like they probably will succeed because of what game it is. And then the signal that's going to send to the rest of the industry. Basically, this sucks, and it's going to start a trend that'll take years to fix. That sucks.
I mean, to be fair, GTA games are known for having a lot of content. This isn't like Activision charging $80 or $100 for a premium version of Call of Duty that has like, what, a 6-hour campaign and you're done. I'm just pointing that out as devil's advocate kind of thing.
I'm sorry, I was responding to something in the chat. What's the devil advocate position?
That GTA games are known for being packed to the brim with content.
And so even if you don't get this one side mission, who cares? Because there's so much more to do.
Yeah.
That's a take. But that said, the marketing impact of this move, I think, is real.
Yeah.
And people don't have the game in their hands. So they react to what they can see and what's been quantified. And the only thing they can see is that there's a mission they're not going to get if they don't pay up. And so that feels bad. But also, it's Rockstar, so I think they're going to get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because Rockstar, I mean, they're putting out a game with a lot of content. They could probably get away with a lot of stuff.
And like, even if people don't pre-order it, then it's going to come out and all the people who played it are playing it. And it's going to do the thing we talked about earlier where people see a thing and like, well, I want to play that now.
Mm-hmm. What I would be curious about, and I feel like I'm wishing on a monkey's paw, but I want to see it happen. I want to see Nintendo try to pull off something like this and see if people get mad or excuse it.
I think with Nintendo, you would see a lot of both.
Yeah.
Because you remember Tears of the Kingdom being Nintendo's first $70 game.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of discourse that created.
I mean, let's be clear. Nintendo paved the way for the higher game pricing this gen.
Yeah. Yeah, with
Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm. But Nintendo also came out with a story recently that they just gave their whole staff a 10% raise.
Hmm. I like that.
Where Rockstar is being sued for anti-labor
practices or something.
Yeah. For like union busting or something along those lines, something with unions.
Chaos says, I blame Outer Worlds 2 for more expensive games. I thought they dropped the price on Outer Worlds 2.
They walked
that back, man. And then they let Nintendo take the first punch.
But I mean, that's the rub. Would you pay more for games if you knew that the devs were getting their fair share and not the Kotix of the world getting their fifth yacht?
No, I want both the devs to get their fair share and me to get a fair price and that it not be about the company making enough money for stockholder investors. I want companies to be private.
Yeah,
I can't make that happen. I can't fix that. I can't cause that. And it's unrealistic. It's not going to happen. So right. But that's what I want. But I guess I'm weird.
And I mean, the way that you can do a little bit about it is just buying and supporting indie stuff, make them into the millionaires.
Mm. And then they turn bad on you.
Here's the thing. Like, even then, we've seen several indie devs who've then gone mainline, and then they're just as bad as everybody else. We've seen that. Not everyone.
Not all indie devs.
But we have seen it happen, or we've seen some of them.
The thing is, they were already bad. They just didn't have a loud platform.
Yeah.
Remember, money doesn't change you. It just shows people who you really are.
Oof. Oh man, we're going super political. We should probably
I don't think we've hit political yet, but we are going places that we probably should move on to question of the week.
Yeah, which was,
Do you want them to make a 3D 2D remake of the first 6 Final Fantasy games? We had a few responses. So Shaman wrote in saying, "I'd be interested in the Super Nintendo trilogy 4 through 6, but I'd be way more interested if they did HD 2D version of 7 and on."
Hmm.
Interesting.
That's not going to happen since they're literally in the middle of a remake of 7, right? So
almost done.
That's fair. Yeah.
The thing with the PlayStation ones is that they would have to completely rebuild those games from the ground up.
Yeah.
I mean, they've kind of been doing that anyways.
I imagine
how good it would. Well, I don't know if it'd be good actually.
But 8 would be weird in a 2D HD setting. I think I would say that.
How would that work?
Strawberry Eggs Rosen is, I think that's supposed to be, I'd be most interested in HD 2D versions of 5 and 6. I don't know if I'd play the first 4 games, but if they want to remake all 6 of them, I'd welcome them if only as an excuse to replay 5 and 6 in a newer style. Oh, by the way, someone did confirm last night that the Pixel Remasters, all of them were built in Unity.
Yeah, okay, I said cool. that last week.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, this was going to Chris, who's like,
I didn't remember, and I should have known because I did mods that were very much Unity focused, and like, so I was in there, but I just didn't remember.
And then Scar wrote in saying, "I just played through the Pixel Remasters of the first 6 titles. Give me some D-makes or something new."
Now we want D-makes of the first 6 titles. So we want them to be on Atari. Is that what that would be? Instead of NES? What is the D-make of that Final Fantasy 1?
Have you ever seen the NES version of Final Fantasy 7?
No. Have I? I better go.
Somebody did look. That.
All right. NES version of...
It's just a ROM hack.
Yeah, of course. But I want to see it. NES FF7. Did Sephiroth do this? Okay. So we got... So they're taking sprites from other games. This looks like SNES, not NES. But okay.
Oh, that looks like NES.
Oh, but the sprites are like from the SNES games.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a lot of talking. I need a better video of it. Let's play FF7 NES D-Make. Thank you. Credit to 4-8 Productions, which is weird because is that a play on 8-4? Oh, wait. I don't know. Chinese D-Make of FF7. Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. I actually linked this over to Spare. Or his,
sorry, my video
NES
is doing
wheel.
Weird things, but yeah. Okay. I don't know if we do this sort of thing on our channel. If we do, I think it's interesting looking. That's for all right. So it's just doing the bombing.
There are some very interesting Chinese like D-makes and whatnot of games.
Okay.
It's a whole rabbit hole.
A lot of the D-makes I've seen are just fan concepts, like a Game Boy, I think there's a whole channel full of them, actually. A Game Boy version of Stray.
Wow.
Or like PS1 Bloodborne. I think we've all seen that
one. That one I've seen, yeah. PS1 Bloodborne. I do like the remake of... Oh, wait, no, that'll be political again. Never mind. Let's move on.
So,
the Elden Ring with the reflection pool.
Do we have a new question for the week yet, or no?
Hit me,
how do
Kelly.
You feel about $80 games?
I mean, does anyone feel good about $80 games? Who's going to say, I'm fine with it?
I mean, it honestly depends on what series it is, because
Fetzy in the... Oh, go ahead, Kelly, sorry.
I will happily play, like, a brand new Final Fantasy game at $80.
I wouldn't be surprised
series.
If the third one for the Final Fantasy VII Remake series is $80. Would not surprise me in the least.
In the chat, Fetzy had a great idea. How about a HD2D remake of Chrono Trigger?
Yes.
That seems like a great idea. I like it. I think that's the winning answer in my mind. Also says $80 AAA games are fine as long as they're Chrono Trigger. Okay, so you want the Final Fantasy VII remake style of Chrono Trigger, which also I'd be fine with. Do not do Chrono Cross, though. I don't want to think about that game anymore.
Doesn't your husband like Chrono Cross?
Yeah, of course
better?
He does. Yeah, I don't.
I'm just saying, I didn't know if that was fighting words.
Not fighting words. We just recognize that each other is wrong.
In other words, marriage.
Yeah, you got it.
Marriage.
Marriage.
Dr. Wily.
Marriage is why we all got it. Anyway, I'm not going to quote Princess Bride. All right. Hi.
I was quoting Mega Man.
I know you were.
Dr. Wily.
Dr. Wily. What are we
so
doing
do we
now?
Get into news?
Yeah.
Dolot Town adds Steam Wish Workshop support.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new Steam Early Access update to Dolot Town that adds full Steam Workshop modding for this 2D farming sim.
Neat.
Oh, yeah, that game.
This is is this like a Terraria like sort of thing?
Yeah. The Steam summer sale is going on, and yeah. I've been looking through my wish list, and it's like, nope, that game isn't low enough. Nope, that game isn't low enough. Oh, that game is low enough. Oh, early access. So I haven't had a whole lot of impulse buys.
It looks very cute, though.
Yeah. I want to check that out when it's in out of early access.
Was anything ever really out of early access these days?
I guess the... Well, actually, I need to buy it now because it's $15 for the early access. Oh, never mind. I went past the deadline. Never mind. I think it's already out in version 1.0. Oh, I guess not. The article says that it was supposed to come out for 1.0, but anyway, never mind. Demio and Dungeons and Dragons. I guess we've got the Switch 2 version that's bringing a new hero named Gruta Razortusk, an orc druid who can heal people, and that character is available on all platforms.
Huzzah!
We've got the English voice cast revealed for Persona 4 Revival.
Alright, what do we got?
I don't recognize any of these names.
Me neither! I'm glad I'm not alone.
Okay, well, so we actually were, I don't know the guys, but I do know that Brianna Knickerbocker is actually a very common voice actress in many games right now. She actually does voice in Nikkei as well. And I know Anne Yatko does some voices in Nikkei also. She's also mainstream. So unfortunately, here's the thing we're getting to, is we're going to see names we're not familiar with because we're getting into new generation of voice actors.
Yeah. And I know that that's been a thing since the Persona 3 reload.
Yeah. So I at least can, Anne Yatko is actually, and Brianna Knickerbocker, they're both actually very good voice actresses. I've seen them in a couple different things. So I don't know the guys though, or Ari Thrash. I don't know hers.
Okay. Cool. Next story. Oh, it also got a deep dive video, didn't it?
Yeah. Many of the new gameplay and content additions include new arranged and full-length versions of the game's music and new tracks, graphical enhancements, a new guarding option in dungeons. Attacking an enemy afflicted with an ailment can spread to other foes. The baton pass system from Persona 3. That's going to be interesting. Prime time, a new meter that fills up during battle and basically releases an ultimate, or players can freely unleash a series of attacks with no skill cost. Series finale, finishing moves, and we just talked about re-recording all the voices. So it sounds like this is going to be the ultimate version of Persona 4.
I mean, that's the idea, right?
For now. Although I did see something from their parent company that was very interesting this week. Apparently their parent company wants to try and make their entire catalog of 4,500 games available on modern stuff.
Okay. One at a time, or are they going to emulate it?
For those who are not aware.
Oh, right. Yeah, Sega. I feel like Sega has done so many republished Genesis collections that, like...
No, they said their entire collection.
Okay, all right.
So, like, everything. Some of those games probably should stay dead, but... Mm-hmm.
Call me when you do Shining Force, Sega.
Especially 3.
Yes. Sorry, I'm still bitter about that. Let's see, moving on. Final Fantasy Tactics Evilise Chronicles update adds New Game Plus.
So it added a lot of stuff, not just New Game Plus.
It was a big update.
Yeah, it was big. Let me... I actually just have it so I can open up. So yeah, New Game Plus feature, a Zodiac compatibility function has been added. You may now check a unit's Zodiac sign and compatibility from the status screen. Some adjustments when selecting a tile to move to or target with an ability. You may now check the status of a unit under the selection cursor. Remove all equipment. Job unlock conditions are now displayed more clearly for those currently locked. During battle, the camera angle and zoom settings are now retained for the entirety of that battle. New settings, the maintain auto proceed setting for cutscenes has been added. The ability incantations guaranteed setting has been added, which ensures that dialogue spoken when using certain abilities is always performed. The ability cursor menu setting has been added, which retains the cursor position in the abilities section of the battle menu. Minor text changes were made in all languages. Certain sound effects have been adjusted. Overall stability has been improved, and other minor issues have been resolved. And it also added new languages, simplified Chinese, traditional Chinese, and Korean.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, so yeah, it was a big update.
Tomo Endless Blue Switch version has been confirmed. This is a voxel-based open-world RPG that's also coming to PC, Mac, and Linux, and has reached its funding goal. Looks kind of cute. I see that that's like a little rat that you're playing as.
Yeah.
Did it Bowser that boss?
I think it did.
Yeah. But this is when?
We don't have
Kickstarter,
a
release date. Right? So who knows?
Yeah. I guess this is part Minecraft, part Pokemon.
Because
I just witnessed somebody try to catch something.
Tell me more about Granblue Fantasy Relink Endless Ragnarok third trailer. Oh, wait. Third trailer
isn't
part of the title.
It's got a demo released.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the DLC for the action RPG.
I guess the developer provided details on how players will be able to unlock the new Endless Ragnarok story content.
This came out and was good, right?
Or yeah, is
this
I played not, it.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the like a non-gacha version of the gacha game.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
it
okay,
really
so
set up
between
the initial events of the gacha game, so some of the, like, if you didn't play the gacha, you wouldn't know, like, the characters as well.
Got it.
It was fun. And I like the graphics. It's really pretty.
Was it worth playing? Does it stick with you?
Yeah.
Scar enjoys it. He streamed it on our channel.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a free update announced for Digimon Story Time Stranger. What is this update entail?
Looks like it's got four pieces right here on the image. Terriermon Assistant is a playable character. Photo mode available during field exploration. A screen to check Digivolution conditions in the Digifarm. And graphics selection between like performance and quality. When's this patch out? Already out, I assume?
July
9th. Oh, July 9th and July 10th, depending on your console.
Right.
Okay. What else? Keep
Titan
the hits
Quest,
coming.
Titan Quest 2 Chapter 4 update is available now.
Oh, I have this. I wonder if I
adds
should play it.
Adds the game's fourth chapter, taking players to the Wildlands. It also raises the game's level cap to 55, as well as adding tier 5 passive skills and additional relics. Is Titan Quest a Diablo-like?
Yes.
Okay.
Has Chris played it?
No. I played the original Titan Quest. It didn't stick with me. I didn't play it when it came out. I played it much later. And so it just was like, this feels slow. But then this was announced. I'm like, I'm just going to buy it now. I know I'm going to play it eventually. People love the first one so much. Yeah. But it's still early access, so I'm kind of like, not worrying about getting to it yet.
So there you go. I'm gonna butcher this name. Baractyl, Will You Trust Your Party gets a new update and a Yigdar Union crossover. This is the board game style RPG called Baractyl, Will You Trust Your Party?
Ikra Union crossover.
Is it made
It's
by
because it's
Sting?
from, yeah, it's made by Sting.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
Oh, the game's 20% off now. Yeah, it's a board game RPG from what it looks like. So there you go. If you wanted to have Yigdar Union characters in your Sting game, now you can.
Huzzah!
Yay.
Story for you, Tim. Honkai Nexus Anima closed beta starting in July.
Yeah, no, I looked this up. This is not really up my alley.
Wait, is it a new Honkai game though?
It is, but it's wait till you yeah, it's open world, but then like the battle system is like this weird board gamey thing.
So it's not turn-based. Or it is turn-based. I don't know.
I don't know, but it's I've seen a style of game like this before. I'm trying to remember where it was. Although I do recognize some of the characters. I think one of them was Sparxy. It looks like it's going to be a monster collector of a sort, though.
Do you like monster collecting?
Not as much as you.
Well, if you're interested in this new game, there's a closed beta starting in July.
Yeah,
Yay.
closed beta. Hey, Blade.
We've got Action Roguelite 7 Trials announced.
Chris is apparently very involved into this that trailer.
It's a hack and slash action roguelite based on Korean afterlife folklore and in development for PC and consoles.
That sounds interesting.
Is it, I wonder if it's the same kind of folklore as in K-pop Demon Hunters. No? Yes? Maybe? I
I don't
don't know.
know. I mean, we don't know.
Am I the only person here that's watched that movie?
I don't have Netflix, so I haven't seen
Oh,
it.
okay. It's a
I
really
have
good
not
movie.
watched it. I've heard it's fantastic. I just hasn't made it to me yet.
Well, anyway. Yeah, this game's gonna have Korean afterlife folklore and is in development for PC and consoles. So there you go. NeoWiz Sanenuts Studio reveals Wind Up Dead Man. Okay, NeoWiz and Sanenuts Studio, two different studios.
Yeah, NeoWiz is more of a publisher. They do make some games, but they're mostly a publisher. They're another, NetEase, Netmarble,
Yeah.
Tencent, yeah.
This is a cassette futuristic retro pixel art style CRPG. That was a lot of modifiers.
What? How many buzzwords can we fit in to describe our game?
Hold my beer.
I've never heard of cassette as a describer for a gameplay style.
I know, right?
Yeah, but this has lots of like audio cassettes. I don't know what they're going for. Oh yeah, he's literally got like an audio cassette above his ear. Look at that. That's weird.
I can't help but be mildly annoyed that new Yuzo Koshiro game that I played, the famous Sega composer that just makes the best music, and the soundtrack to that game is only available on vinyl and cassette, the two worst formats.
That's weird.
Yeah. And it's like, could you put it on a format that people like physically, like
Apparently
CD?
not.
It just seems so backwards to me. Anyway, moving on. Demon's Night Fever is releasing later this year from Arc System Works. A speedrun training simulation RPG where players unleash evil on the world. Okay. I'm curious about speedrunning evil.
Speedrunning evil. Not just evil. Speedran evil.
But the gameplay looks like a tactical RPG. Huh. Okay, listen to this description. Follows the exploits of Giga Super Death, the most wicked devil of all, was one step away from killing God, but then suddenly transformed into a helpless baby.
What?
The helpless baby is a cat, by the way.
Okay, does that description remind you of ZHP, Tam?
In reverse?
Yeah, because that was, Super Death Evil Man trying to beat a Super Baby.
No, it was but Super Death Evil Man was the bad guy, and you didn't play him. You played the hero that he always defeated.
Yeah, that you're right. That description, it just sounds like this, but in reverse.
Yeah.
Either way, that's kind of funny. I need to wishlist this because this looks pretty cool.
And the evil guy is a cat.
Yeah.
And as we all know, has cat, Kelly will travel.
True.
Got cat, let's fight. See, I'm always seeing it on Steam. Is it going to be available on other consoles? PC, PS5, and Switch later this year. Okay, I just don't see it available for wishlist yet on Switch. Anyway, last major story, Arc System Works also has revealed... Whiplaw and Providence's Shadow. This is a high-stakes tactical timeline RPG. What? Okay, the name of the game is called Quiplaw. Sounds like Kapaw.
Quiplaw.
It's Quithoth.
Quithoth.
Well, if you're Quithoth. Sure.
Yes, because one of the gods in Honkai Star Rail has the same name.
Mm.
That is how I know it's how it's pronounced. Or
well, fine then.
Yeah.
What is Kaplaw and Klingon again, Chris?
Success.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is Quiplaw.
I want to call it Kaplaw.
You can do that, Kelly.
Kind of like Underwater Ray Romano.
Underwater Ray Romano.
But yeah, it's coming out in September. What is this game? Timeline-driven combat system.
I think Chris is still on the other...
Khalifa. Wiz Khalifa in Providence's Shadow. Probably not it.
That is definitely not it. That's
definitely not it, yeah. You get weird things on your arms, and then... I don't know. Can I just say this is Persona-like in its presentation in some ways, and not in others?
Yeah, because even the main protagonist looks like Joker.
It's going to be... It looks like a weird game. It looks interesting.
Isn't Arc System Works more known for doing fighting games?
Yes.
These days, yes.
That's like the only people who make fighting games now.
Does Capcom not make fighting games anymore?
I think they worked with Arc.
I think they work with them, yeah.
Okay.
It's we're at that point. We farm out everything.
But that is all the regular news. Now we're going to do a new release date lightning round. Sovereign Tower is releasing on August 8th. This is a story-driven roundtable management RPG.
Cool.
Oh, no. Capcom did make Street... They did not work with them.
I know,
but, like, everybody else works with Arc System Works to make fighting games.
Also, 6 isn't that new at this point, so...
Yeah, they don't make fast fighting games. Like, Arc System Works makes fighting games. That's, like...
They also make a couple other things, yeah.
Did Arc... I mean, they made Arc the Lad.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. That was Arc System Works back in the day. But they haven't made an RPG in a long time.
Who made Skullgirls? Was that independent?
That was an indie company that has gone through some company changes, and it's not well received right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that was the same dev studio behind Indivisible. And the lead guy behind that studio was kind of a dick. He got shut it out, and they eventually sold the studio to someone else, and that company has, like, censored the heck out of Skullgirls.
Oh, because I remember the Skullgirls developer basically gave their engine to them's fighting herds, which was the My Little Pony fighting game with the serial numbers.
Filed off, yep.
Filed off?
Not even filed off, it was the same artist.
Well, it wasn't at first, but then she joined after they tried to shut it down. Yeah, it was a fan game.
Well, it started as a fan project for My Little Ponies. Yeah. They got sued.
Yeah. Anyway.
So then the Skullgirls dev gave them their code, and then the official artist worked on character designs. And it basically became a My Little Pony fighting game in everything but name.
And characters.
Anyway, The Life and Suffering of Prince Duran is releasing in July.
You said The Life and Suffering, and I thought you were going to say Dave next.
That should be a game.
Yeah.
The Life and Suffering of Dave the Cat.
Poor kitty. The kitty is actually well cared for, isn't it? It's not suffering at all. But
He's just dramatic. That's the joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Duran is worthy of suffering. The RPG is coming. Oh, wait. No, sorry. Wrong. There's a demo available now as part of Steam Next Fest, and will launch in July. Relic the First Guardian is hitting PS5 and PC at the end of July. This is an action RPG that's also going to release on Xbox and Switch 2 later this summer. We've got a Dokapon 321 Super Collection getting a Japanese Steam release.
We're going
release.
Too fast for Chris.
I mean, this is why it's lightning.
It's an audio file. It's fine. We don't need to worry about the videos.
Because we've got a lot of them.
Let's go. Let's go.
So, this is the collection of the first three games in the tabletop RPG hybrid series, but available in Japanese only.
Oh.
Outward 2 Early Access has been pushed to 2027. It was planned for next month, but now you've got to wait a year.
Okay.
EverQuest Legends is launching in late July on PC.
Okay. This is interesting because it's like, let's do EverQuest, but again, you can.
Is this like how RuneScape did their new game?
No, the RuneScape's newest game is a survival game. This is not that. This is a reimagined version of original EverQuest. And it's just like EverQuest, but with some quality of life stuff. So streamlined user interface, upgraded spell and ability management. We don't know everything else, but it's using the original game's art style, graphics, zones, spell effects, loot, and music. So it is going to be like you want to go back and play EverQuest, but have it be like slightly more tolerable to a more modern player who's used to not the jank. It's still going to have so much jank, though, I think, because it's still that game, right? But go play EverQuest Legends, maybe that'll get me off of Project Gordon, possibly. I don't know. And we have a Summer Games Fest Play Days interview about the game. We'll probably mention it again later.
Okay, moving on. Genshin Impact Luna 8 update is launching July 1st. This will see players traveling beyond the skies of Teyvat to the Frostmoon. So more Genshin Impact content.
To the moon, no less.
Clock Rogue is releasing on Switch next week. This is you fending off a virus in the body of a hedgehog.
What? Do you understand that, Tam?
I don't understand that.
The virus is in the body of a hedgehog, or you are in a body of a hedgehog while fighting the virus?
I can't tell.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Set inside the body of a hedgehog with players controlling Hari.
Oh, we're going inner space then. We're going into a hedgehog's body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That should be weird. And when I say we, I don't mean me, because I'm probably not going to pick.
I'll wishlist it and see if it goes on sale and if it's interesting. I did like inner space when I was a little kid. Moving on, Monochrome Echoes White coming to Nintendo Switch. This is a retro style dungeon crawler.
Did we skip Clock Rogue?
No,
that was the game.
That was the hedgehog. Oh, I got confused. I thought it was Genshin. So confused. All right. Monochrome echoes. Carry on. My apologies.
Yeah.
Wait, there's color.
I don't know why these games are called monochrome.
Well, everything is just black and white except for this one page that has some additional color.
They're part of the Underwater Ray Romano
They
series.
Are?
Yeah.
Oh.
You learned something
Well, it's coming to Switch, and you can... This looks neat. I kind of want to know how good this is. This looks neat.
Are you sure they're related?
I don't think they are, Kelly.
I was pretty sure they were.
I'm not seeing any mention of that anywhere, but...
No, the developers are not Type Moon, or not Type Moon.
This is related to some series called Quester, apparently.
I was getting it confused with Monochrome Mobius.
Don't worry, I did the same thing at first, too.
Okay. My bad.
Anyway,
Shards of Order is releasing next month, a dark fantasy card-based RPG that makes use of a time mechanic.
Oh boy, a card-based RPG.
But time mechanics.
Don't like time mechanics?
No, it's just not exciting, that's all. Yay. I'm trying.
More card games.
Kinseed is coming to consoles. This is a PC sandbox life sim.
Okay.
It was originally released on Steam. I have it wishlisted. I have not bit yet, but now I might hold off because now I could play it on my... The blurb doesn't say what consoles, but I imagine Switch 2 will be one of them. Or Switch or Switch 2. But the game always looked cute. I just have never bid on it. Dead Weight is releasing in July. This is a roguelike tactical RPG that sees you exploring floating islands and facing off against ancient gods. We've got Enshrouded fully launching on PC and PS5 in October. It's the version 1.0, and the full version will be available on PC and PS5 with the
Finally
Xbox.
Out of early access.
Yeah. There's that.
So there's that.
I don't know how to transition some of these. They're coming out. Please be excited.
or not.
Thank you, Nintendo.
Absalom is coming to Switch 2 in September. And will be on the physical cartridge.
Hey, cool.
Well, Absalom, was that? There was a 2D.
Yeah, 2D side scrolling action RPG. You could do like some multiplayer, I think just two people. But people liked it. So
I heard good things. Dave the Diver is getting physical editions in October.
Interesting.
I need to play that. I've heard good things about that one.
That just
too.
Keeps getting content too. And
yeah.
Then spin-off games with the sushi chef guy. Yeah.
The fact that Kiryu shows up in it.
Yeah. Once Yakuza's in it, it's like you probably should have played this by now. Yeah.
Who is the bigger whore about being in cameos? Kiryu or Shovel Knight?
Shovel Knight.
Actually, it wasn't Kiryu, it was Ichiban.
Kazuma or Ichiban?
Yeah.
Fair.
But still Yakuza.
Like a dragon.
Like a dragon?
I'm glad you picked up what I was going for there.
Like, oh my god.
Again?
As if.
As if.
Warhammer 40K.
You don't pull it off as well, Kelly. I'm sorry.
I can't do that. It hurts my heart.
I have no shame.
Fair.
Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader is getting a physical release for PS5 and Switch 2.
Okay.
We have a review of this from Dalandar. I don't think he cared for it that much, but he was also playing a very early version
of
it.
He was, yeah. So
I'm sure that it will be the most up-to-date patched version.
Everything is surely fixed now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
According to my coworker who I talk games and anime with, it's pretty good now.
All right, then.
He was actually playing it the other night when they... So, Owlcat decided to release their own launcher.
Uh-oh. No.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Oh, they So that way you could have access to all your Owlcat, RPGs in one place.
All three of them? Like, what do I need a launcher for? Sorry.
It gets better. They discontinued their launcher 19 hours after launching it.
Wait, what?
Why?
What happened?
It didn't work right.
Okay.
So it was Owlcat being Owlcat.
But that's normal. Like, they should be used to that.
Yeah, apparently, the launcher caused some of the people's games not to actually launch.
Oh, no. They must have vibe coded it.
No, think about it. This is Owlcat Games. This is
you're right. Vibe coded would have worked better, probably. Yeah.
So it's.
It's like the launcher has one job, and it's to launch
it
games.
The launcher had one job, and it didn't do it well.
Well, there you go.
Cool.
The Hidden Scrolls is releasing in July from TP Games and Red Dragon Studio. A tactical roguelike inspired by Chinese classic text of class. Chinese text classic of mountains and seas.
Okay.
Chinese classic text. The title, classic of mountains and seas. That was very hard to say. I'm sorry, that sentence was weirded confusingly. The Witch's Bakery is coming out on August 20th. 2D adventure life sim featuring a witch and a cat and a bakery.
So you're getting it?
Maybe.
So this thing was heavily marketed on an influencer marketing network that I watched a little documentary about. It sounds like they're pretty crappy. But you've probably seen videos for this everywhere because it was advertised on that network. So it's interesting. KS says they've never seen it. So never mind. Guess it wasn't marketed that heavily. But when is this coming? You said August 20th. All right. 20th. Yep. It has nothing to do with whether or not this game will be good, obviously. I just thought it was interesting that I watched stuff about that. Cool beans. Next up.
Veiled Shadows demo is coming in August. This is a party-based RPG inspired by Persona 4 and Yo-Kai Watch.
Okay.
Two games that couldn't be more diametrically opposed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yet someone is combining them.
Mm-hmm.
Such is the world.
Monster
Combine everything.
And I almost bought this not realizing that it wasn't out yet at the time. Monster Hunter Stories 3 is getting its Rudy DLC side story, along with a new free update for the game. Now, the side stories for the other characters basically unlock different options for your party in that game, like being able to switch their weapons or monsty or whatnot. Does it say what you get for completing Rudy's DLC? Oh, and I guess he meets up with Naviru from the previous games.
Ah, of course.
The free update also features a higher difficulty version of the game's final battle for those with completed save files. Completing the new hard version unlocks royal monster versions of almost every monster in the game. I don't know if I'm going to go back to do all that, though. And yeah, the story does not say what you get for completing Rudy's DLC. I don't know. I hope it's something good. Anyway.
Yeah, you got something, right? So.
Yeah. It's more Monster Hunter Stories, and it's a really good game, so I guess that's its own reward.
Yep.
I mean, can't be worse than Monster Hunter Wilds.
I like Monster Hunter Wilds.
That's the new one, right?
Yeah, that's the one with performance issues.
Yeah, see? That's where I was going with, Chris.
Well, as long as you play it on a really beefy PC or get, hopefully, a tuned console port, you're fine. And, yeah, that's it. I'm not going to argue that one, because you're not wrong. All right, what's next? Is it time for me to tell you what's coming out this week?
Yes.
It's a short list.
Please.
We've got Dokapon 321 Super Collection, which we talked about earlier. That's from Sting. That's the little board game. It's got some crossover with their other characters. And then we also have Death Bulge, Battle of the Bands, which is a port, and it's coming to like all the platforms this week. And don't remember much about Death Bulge, but well, for you to know it's coming. So, party-based RPG where you fight things with music. Doesn't look like you have to do like rhythm things either. It just looks like it's quirky with fun looking characters, like they're all on a rock album cover or something. That's all I got. We have some editorial stuff.
Editorial?
Edit corporeal. I don't know what we're talking about.
We got Adventures of Elliot review from Imani Jones. They give it a 4 out of 5. Rewarding exploration, tight responsive combat, fairy abilities add depth, stunning HD 2D graphics, and interesting puzzles are the positives. Negatives, predictable story, travel occasionally feels segmented, and limited enemy variety. They did not mention what I would have put as a negative, which would be annoying companion. Oh, so annoying.
All the annoy.
Seriously, that companion is irritating.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of cassette-based games.
We've got a cassette boy review from Sven Ferguson. Oh, this was on sale. I mean, they gave it a 3.5 out of 5, saying the perspective-based puzzles are clever and well-developed, the soundtrack combines chiptune sounds with a modern mellow ambience, and it has a convincing pseudo-ritual visual. The negatives, no story of substance materializes despite some attempts, and the final act is marred by underdeveloped areas and a lack of direction. This is a Game Boy-looking game on, I think, the Switch. They reviewed it on the PC, but I have it wishlisted on the Switch, called Cassette Boy. From Austin Langer, we've got Terranoth Heroes of Descent as a review. This looks like a PC tactical RPG. Oh, but they reviewed it on the Xbox. They gave it a 3 out of 5, saying that it has authentic tabletop pacing, a forgiving progression loop, rewarding exploration and physics, smart quality of life toggles as the positives, but the negatives are a generic narrative, unmemorable characters, and bland voice acting. This is for Terranoth Heroes of Descent.
Got a retro review up next.
Oh, Secret of Evermore. The not Secret of Mana. this was from Scar, aka Ryan Radcliffe. That he gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Wow!
I thought Mana fans were supposed to hate the Evermore games.
Game.
Well, also Illusion of Gaia, right? That's the other one that was out around that
time.
No,
Illusion of Gaia is its own thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Illusion of Gaia is actually second one in a trilogy.
Oh, all right. Never mind.
Yeah, which is
Soul Blazer,
Illusion of Gaia, and Terranigma.
Oh.
Those were actually Quest, as in the makers of Ogre Battle.
Dropping all this education on you guys.
I at least knew this stuff.
No, I knew this too.
But, Chris has no clue.
Okay, tell me about the greatest RPG, the remake of the end of the greatest RPG of all time, which is apparently not an RPG.
Well, Scar gave Secret of Evermore 4.5 out of 5. It says it has a charming, lighthearted story. The dog is a great support character. The alchemy is fun, and the cameos are great. Negatives: music could stand out more, and no multiplayer. Or if you're reviewing this from back in the day, you give this a negative because it's not Secret of Mana. I still stand by the claim that Secret of Mana was never good.
I mean, you can have that opinion.
Yeah. It's my hot take. What else have we got? We've got, an Adventure Corner, the remake of the end of the greatest RPG of all time. A fun subversion of how a continuous game development cycle can be, and how seriously fan how seriously fan expectations can become in the gaming industry. Ryan Costa, aka Dalandar, did this one, by the way. I don't know why the name of this game sort of gives me vibes of The Greatest Song in the World from
Because it
Tenacious
sounds
D.
like that.
Yeah.
I think those are some really relevant vibes to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that
This
feeling.
is an
I
homage
think
to
it's
that
got.
greatest song. We don't remember the greatest song. This is homage to it. But yeah.
I feel it's a valid take.
It also could be making fun of Mass Effect from what that description sounds like.
I know, right?
No, because Mass Effect just is Mass Effect.
Well, yeah, but people famously complained about the
Yeah, we're
end of
talking about
that
the
game.
fan expectations, Tim. Think
Oh,
about when I
okay.
start complaining about Mass Effect 3.
You complain about Mass Effect 2, and you're wrong.
Not going to do it again. I'm not falling for the bait. I'm not doing it. Going to get me. Why is there a cat staring next to the telephone, Kelly?
Why shouldn't there be?
Schrodinger's calls from Elena Ng.
Well, there's your answer,
Oh, all
Schrodinger.
right.
It's involving Schrodinger.
It's a visual novel set in the realm between life and death. Tells the story of the world's end from the perspective of the world's last confidant.
I'm assuming that's the cat.
I guess that. I don't know. This looks like it could be too sad.
Or very deep.
Oh, and I love that the caption on the picture of the cat next to the phone says the void is calling.
Looks more like the void is about to answer.
And the void says meow. We've had an adventure corner for Lego Batman: The Legacy of the Dark Knight from Iraza Hashimi.
All right. I don't remember discovering Lego games before. That's pretty cool.
I saw this and was like, wait, Lego Batman is an adventure game?
Yes.
I
Action
mean,
adventure?
they kind of are.
Are they?
I've played
Do you make choices and solve puzzles and have to do dialogue trees and I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your puzzle is like you have to find the right bricks to build stuff,
Do I have
and
to play a
yeah.
melody so I can open the door to get on the spaceship thing? Okay. Is this Myst? This is not Myst.
No, it's not that type of adventure. It's more actiony.
Okay.
I was trying to play like the Lego Supervillains game because it had Dexstar, my favorite DC character, in it. Dexstar is a Red Lantern cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got a Pride Month thing. Part two. Cool.
Is this talking about queer representation in games?
Yeah, Taking Pride in RPGs, Part Two, Being Who You Want to Be. We're looking at the tail end of the LGBTQ plus, the T and the Q, and everything else that comes with it. So, this is for the queer out of place folks that make an active choice as to what fits them. So they've got games like Princess Kenny, South Park, and the Stick of Truth. We've got so we've got basically trans representation in games. yeah. So we're talking about characters in different games that are like either halfway or non-binary or trans. So, and some characters you might not realize were.
Lest we forget, Birdo is the ultimate video game trans icon.
They were not in this article, and I'm sad about that.
I will always count Birdo as a trans icon. Poison too. We've got personal 2026 summer announcement highlights, stuff that some of the staff was excited about.
Yeah, so this is just a long list of what people are most looking forward to. So, you want to read it, find your favorite author from our site, and see what they're looking forward to and why.
And then Sarah's Final Fantasy 14 Fan Fest experience.
Nice. Lots of pictures and write-ups from that.
Is this Noodle or
Yeah.
is it
Yeah.
Yeah.
okay? Yeah, so
Honestly,
she's
I understand that because even the other night when we were doing backtrack, I was like, "What's her actual name and not Noodle?" And even she was just like, "Yeah, I'm Noodle." So it's just
well,
like she's Noodle.
I thought that her last name was McGar, but
No,
did
she
she
changed
get?
her last name. It's
Oh,
different
okay.
now. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. That's why I was confused. But you can read about her experience at Final Fantasy 14 FanFest. I'll bet that's a lot of fun.
So read up Sarah Ferry's experience there. And then we have an editorial.
Scale versus Space: How Final Fantasy 16 Reclaimed the Cinematic Epic from Austin Langer.
Reclaimed it from where, though? Guess you'll have to read to find out. I think 16 is a cool game and is very cinematic and also very much not normal Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I agree. Well, 16's an interesting one because it goes puts Final Fantasy back in a fantasy setting,
That's
but
true.
different enough from your conventional Final Fantasy that it's different. I don't know how else to describe it. And I've always said my favorite thing about the Final Fantasy series is that they are not afraid to experiment. And I appreciate them for that. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But what else? And then Stardust Wish of Witch interview from Ryan Costa. What was this
Interview with
game
those
about?
devs, and you can see what's going on there. And then that's going to be the last thing, right?
We've got a bunch of Steam Summer Game Fest stuff. But I didn't open those tabs. It's a bunch of interviews and news blurbs and other things. Are our show notes public?
Yes, they are.
If you're curious about some of those things, you can open our show notes on the page that we post this podcast on and read some of that stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah, there's a
it's a
lot
very
in
long
there.
list because we've got interview for Petal Runner and Elder Scrolls Online and to 007 First Light, EverQuest, Grounded to Final Fantasy or Granblue Fantasy Relink. We got impressions for Onimusha, Phantom Blade Zero, Petal Runner. We've got previews for AN2 and Silent Hill, more impressions for Annapurna Interactive's and full lineup of games that they were showing, Anemo, Crimson Moon, Tomb Raider, Blood Message, Alien Isolation 2, Sea of Remnants, Summer, and then to another roundup of all those impressions, and then a roundup of all the previews, and then another preview of Xenoverse 3 for Dragon Ball, and then a Magic the Gathering Arena Summer Games Fest, showing off new stuff coming to that. Impression for that. Woo! So many things.
I mean, it is that time of year where just all the announcements are coming through.
But everything sounds exciting.
Well, that's it for our show then. Sorry. Don't let sad to end it on a low energy, but long list of news
It's
and
been a
stories
long
to read.
week. It's been a long couple of weeks, put it that
Mm.
way.
Yeah, I'm on call and I don't have my main computer, so I understand.
So, what's our question of the week again?
How do you feel about the $80 games? Give us your take, your hot take, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, how it's working out, how dumb it is, how dumb it isn't. Do you want the game prices to go higher so devs can get paid more? Do you think that money will actually get to them? There's so many directions you could take that.
I want devs to get paid more, and I would happily pay more for games if the devs got paid more, but I know for a fact that the devs aren't getting paid more. Except for Nintendo, apparently. But that's because Japanese work culture is different from ours.
It depends on the company. They do have the term white company and black company.
But at the same time, I also think everybody should be getting paid more, not just game stuff. But that's a whole other can of worms that I'm sure nobody wants to get into.
At least not live. I'm more of the mind, like $80 fine, but then 80 it's like they're locking content and it's they're not even doing a physical edition where they specifically said, oh, we're only going to sell it to consoles. That is what pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
I have no skin in this game because I don't really play GTA.
I liked 5.
I more watch my husband play GTA, and he always played it just for the lulz more than anything.
Well, I will say GTA 5 has probably one of the best video game conversations ever, where one of the character's sons is trying to explain what a trolling is.
Wasn't that the kid from Pete and Pete that did that? Did that dialogue?
I don't know.
You are asking the wrong people to answer that question for you, Kelly.
I'll have to look that up then. But what games, existing games, are we going to be playing?
I'm going to play more Project Gorgon, but you already knew that. Because of the there's a short work week going into Games Done Quick, I probably won't be starting any new games. But I do have a kind of a new hobby I'm starting, I can tell you about.
Oh, new hobby.
I bought a new iPad. That's not the hobby, though I could see some people thinking my hobby is to buy new technology, and I wouldn't fault them for that, and I won't deny it.
That honestly, that is where my mind went, Chris.
So I traded in my old iPad, and I got a 13-inch iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil. And I'm trying to learn how to draw, Kelly. I bought a copy of Procreate, and I said, all right, let's draw a picture. And I drew the dumbest picture of my cat that I should share with you.
No, I'm happy that you're learning how to draw. That can be very, it can be frustrating, but it can be very rewarding. And just keep at it.
I've been told the best thing I can do is find a character I'm a fan of and obsessively, repeatedly, never endingly draw
that,
it.
That
over
is a
and
good
over.
Way to do it. There's actually an artist I know of, F_Subaru,
mm-hmm.
who did a 100-day challenge of drawing art, you know, one drawing a day, and they drew his favorite, they drew their favorite character from Nikkei every day for 100 days.
That's a lot of butt cheeks.
Actually, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, there were a few that were a little on the questionable end, but mm-hmm. most of them were very mm-hmm. tasteful. It was of noise, so... But a lot of people do that. They find a character. That was an example. You know, it's a way of really, and they even like compiled it and put out a doujin of the 100 days.
I've got it on stream now. Here is my first image I made on my iPad.
Here we go. Oh,
twinkle toes.
It's cute.
It's so stupid.
Hey, you got to get used to your settings.
Yep. Yeah, and I literally haven't even learned all the settings in the program yet. So it's like, I got so much to learn. But like, baby steps. As you can see, very baby steps. Like, looking like I'm finger painting baby steps.
But, I mean, there's a reason why the stereotype of the Sonic artist exists. Because Sonic is a very easy character to draw.
Mm.
And that's why a lot of kids have Sonic fan characters.
I didn't think about that. Good idea.
If Sonic isn't up your alley, I mean, Mario's pretty easy to draw. The My Little Pony characters are pretty easy to draw.
Oh, cool.
It kind of gives you a sense of the scale and the shape of those characters. And then, you know, you can transition to trying to do more realistic artwork at any time.
Hmm.
But
yeah, and my desire is more cartoonish artwork mm-hmm. anyway, so.
Yeah, yeah. Because I realized that my mother-in-law's tablet was an iPad, but I don't know how old of an iPad it is or if it'll be compatible with an Apple Pencil, because I kind of want to get into that environment.
Do research before buying a pencil, because there are three different pencils and they all have different lists of what they're compatible with.
Yeah.
At first, I just bought a Pencil Pro because I definitely wanted the Pencil Pro because it's got like the proximity and some cool features and the squeezing and stuff. But it wasn't compatible with my old iPad. And I'm like, yeah, but mm-hmm. this is what I want. So I'm going to buy a new iPad that's more artist focused anyway by being giant. Where that takes me. Very.
And supposedly you can get nibs that feel more like pencils.
I can get a screen cover that makes it feel more like paper.
Yeah, no, I know people that know of people that do web comics entirely on in Procreate.
Yeah, and then, you know, you get once you get to the point where like, oh, this is real, then you get to Wacom and do things differently with Clip Studio and whatnot. But, you know, I'm looking for the starter set, which is what I got.
Yeah, and part of why I wanted to get into the Apple ecosystem of art is because Clip Studio charges like $25 a year to use on mobile.
Which isn't
And
too bad. But
is
Procreate is a one-time
Procreate?
purchase, so.
Yeah, Procreate's a one-time purchase.
Now, I just know that once you get to PC, people seem to vastly prefer Clip Studio. I don't know all the ins and outs, but art things that I have to learn. Or not learn, because it doesn't matter. I'm not going to be a TikTok artist or what, a Twitch. What do you call artists who stream?
Just
Artists who
streaming
stream.
artist.
Yeah. I'm probably not going down that road of career, so I don't know that I need to get super serious tools and stuff. I just want to draw a cat on my iPad every so often and reduce some stress.
Because I tried to do the art streaming thing, and it was making me too nervous about drawing
Yeah.
in front of an audience, and I realized what I liked about the streaming wasn't the drawing, it was the social interaction that came with streaming. So,
I say watch someone else's stream then, you know?
yeah. Or, talking to guy you guys on Discord kind of scratched that itch too.
Oh yeah, we could start doing that again if you want to. Like the extra calls.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I know that we would kind of run out of topics and then get awkward silence.
Best way, baby. Let's awkward silence for the win. Life is half awkward silence once you get down to it, especially while you're both painting. Hi, how are you? Thanks for watching, everybody. I would like to thank people for well, watching, listening, whatever you're doing. If you'd like to see the show live, it's rpgamer. It's twitch.tv/rpgamer. And if a cat is available, I will have them on stream the whole time. And then you get some cat vibes while you're watching. I would like to thank Alex Severn for putting in a bunch of our summaries for the show notes,
Thank
and
you.
Kelly and Robert for joining me today, and you, dear listener, for watching. So,
I'm just glad I didn't get called in the middle of podcast.
yeah. Now you asked me what I'm playing this week. I'm going to ask you what you're playing this week, Kelly.
More Adventures of Elliot.
What about you, Robert?
Honkai Star Rail and Nikkei, because I don't know when I'll get my computer back, so I'm trying to keep it very low maintenance.
We are all kind of stuck in our ways for a bit, it seems.
Yeah,
I
and Nikkei
oh.
has its big summer event starting this week, so
And speaking of events, there won't be a show next week because Andy and I are going to Summer Games Done Quick, so we will be out there instead. We might miss 2 weeks of shows. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. That kind of sucks, but yeah, that's what we'll be doing. And sorry about that. But enjoy. Please watch the event and donate. That's kind of where I'm going to push you to. I don't know if anyone's going to do substitute streams. We'll probably figure out if we're going to organize that or if anyone wants to. And either that, we'll see you in 2 to 3 weeks. And I hope you have fun summer times. I hope you've enjoyed all the announcements and you got stuff to look forward to. And I hope you can catch up on your backlog if you can. Enjoy
Well,
games. Enjoy RPGs. What's up?
before we go, as far as content goes on our Twitch channel this weekend, I am out because, again, my computer. But Scar and Scar should be in tomorrow. We may not have Hair Frog because birthday. Happy birthday, Hair Frog!
Happy birthday, Froggy.
And then next weekend, I am still out because I am actually working July 4th.
Oof. But hey, holiday pay.
Yeah, as I'm working like 7 to 11, so I'm going to be making mad money
Mad money.
because I get all sorts of shift differential on top of that pay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I feel like well, anyway, I won't talk about that now.
Yeah, so even if my computer's back, no stream for me next Saturday.
Cool.
I'm salary, so I get paid the same no matter what I do.
Yeah, same here.
I might work on finishing up my Bahamut statue. Or did you guys know I was painting
a Bahamut statue? I did not know that you were painting a Bahamut statue.
Yeah, my husband got it for me for my birthday this year, and it is huge. It is literally called the Gargantuan Bahamut.
Okay.
Sounds big.
I'll have to take a picture of a cat for scale.
Banana for scale.
Well, I don't have any bananas at the moment.
Draw one. Which I know really undermines the purpose.
Draw one and put it on the put it on a wall.
I think that's copyrighted.
Then I'll be a millionaire.
Yeah.
No. It's only copyrighted if it's a real. I'm sure if it's a real banana. But if
I see.
Draw your own banana.
Chaos in the chat says, "What Bahamut?" And then we'll end.
D&D Bahamut.
D&D Bahamut. So, what color dragon is that?
Platinum.
Platinum. Thank y'all.
But I sort of have a Bahamut mood board.
Okay.
With ones from the Final Fantasy games. The one from Critical Role, which is kind of shiny and rainbowy. So we'll see how it turns out.
Well then, thank you all for listening. Check out more Twitch stuff as it comes up this weekend. We'll see you in a couple weeks, and I hope till then you have a good one. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.